Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 through 8. So Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to come and go. And the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you. And you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. The Lord will do to them just as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with the people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. You shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the grace that comes to us through Jesus Christ, the Lord. And thank you, Father, that as you speak to us in your word, as we have opportunity to pray to you, as we also participate in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, through these means, we have the privilege of embracing your empowering grace. And we ask tonight, Father, that as we prepare for our participation in the Lord's Supper, that you would be pleased to work in our hearts and grant us a good understanding of what we are about, and bless us. Bless us as your people to embrace your empowering grace. Grant us this, we ask, in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ, who is indeed the only Lord and Savior. Amen. On March 3rd, just past, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, spoke to our Congress. He was speaking to Congress, as you may recall, about the situation in Iran. And he recalled the fact that the country of Iran now occupies the geographical territory of ancient Persia. And Prime Minister Netanyahu reminded our Congress and those who were watching him on television, that a long time ago, a Persian monarch held the Jewish people in captivity, and a brave lady a brave lady by the name of Esther stood boldly before the king. And because of her courageous and brave actions, the Jewish people were spared. It's very striking that the prime minister should relate this story to our Congress. Many years earlier, Moses, on the edge of Jordan, with the people of God, reminded them that they too needed to be courageous and brave and strong. And the message for you this evening is the same message. Interestingly enough, significantly enough, it's the same message. Be strong and courageous. And when you look at these words that come from Deuteronomy chapter 31, I hope you'll begin to realize that these words from Deuteronomy 31 are an expression of the grace of God to Israel, and not only to Israel, but to the likes of you and me. And so the message, if we understand it properly, is for you, people of God, this evening, to embrace God's empowering grace. And I trust you'll see that this is the case as we look at this passage of Scripture this evening. In Deuteronomy 31, Moses is speaking to Israel as they are in Moab, on the east side of Jordan, opposite Jericho. And there's a great gathering, something like 2.5 million people gathered there. The people are at the close of their wilderness wanderings. They're, in a sense, still in the wilderness, poised to cross the Jordan and enter the promised land. You and I are like the ancient people of Israel. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 reminds the church at Corinth and reminds us that the lessons that the ancient Israelites learned in the wilderness were for our example. And not only so, the Apostle Paul uses even stronger language in 1 Corinthians 10. He says that the people of Israel in the wilderness experienced what they did typologically as a type, as that which was foreshadowing what the church would experience in the New Testament age. And if you understand this correctly, you would realize then that the message that we're looking at in Deuteronomy 31 this evening is not just for Israel, as they are yet in their wilderness experience. The message in Deuteronomy 31 is for you this evening. The message is for you and for me. And to begin, I want you to realize that this is the case. The message begins with Moses saying, he's an old man now, and he's going to be replaced in the leadership of Israel. Look at verses 1, 2, and 3. So Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to come and go, and the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. Yes, in God's providence, it's always the case that older leaders have a time to step aside so that younger leaders appointed by God can step up and exercise their gifts. This was true for Moses and Joshua, and it's true for you in the congregation here. Moses, 120 years old. I don't know if I want to live to 120. Imagine. And he says he's not going to be able to go into the land. And the big reason he's not going to be able to go into the land is that when the people grumbled and were thirsty, God said to Moses, go to the rock and speak to the rock, and I'll give water out of the rock to quench the thirst of the people. And after 40 years in the wilderness with these people, Moses said to the people, you rebels, and this is how he reacted to them, you rebels, am I to bring water out of the rock? And he smote the rock, he struck the rock twice with his rod. And God said, you have not properly honored me. And that was the big reason that Moses was not going to go into the promised land. But in God's providence, the time had come for there to be new leadership in the congregation. A couple of years ago, it was time for me to retire from the seminary. And most of you know that Synod elected Barry York, a little bit younger fellow than I am, to assume the duties that I had at the seminary. And this is a good thing. And it was right and fitting that this transition take place. And similarly, your elder pastor some time ago stepped aside from permanent duties as pastor of the congregation, and someone younger came in. This is how it works. This is how it must work. And those of us who are older must be prepared to step aside in due time to allow others to assume the work of the ministry in a proper fashion. I remember talking a few years ago with a young lady in the Midwest Presbytery whose father was a pastor, and she was lamenting the fact that the older leaders in the presbytery didn't seem to want to step aside to allow the younger people in the presbytery to take on leadership positions. And she was realizing that a whole generation of young men and women were being passed over for leadership in the presbytery. Such a thing ought not to be. You see, and we see this quite clearly with Moses and Joshua. And we need to realize, do we not, that when the younger leaders come in to take positions in the congregation, that it's the Lord. It's the Lord who's the one who is the real leader of God's people. Look at verse 3 again. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. I'm sure when Moses said to the people long ago, I'm not going to be able to go over there with you. Some of them may have been saying, wait a minute, if you're not going, we're not going either. And then Moses reminds them, no, it's the Lord. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. I will lead you, and my appointed guide for you now is Joshua. And just as it is for the children of Israel, so it is in local congregations such as this one. When there are transitions in leadership, you, the people of God, must trust the Lord that He is the one who is your leader. In the end, this is always the case. And as a pastor, I know that I want the people of God to understand that if I'm not following the directions and the dictates of the great God of the universe, who is the Lord of all, then I'm not worthy of leadership in the church. It is those who are appointed by the Lord to guide the church who are put in positions of authority. And by their ministry, the Lord Himself is guiding and directing the church. Oh, friends, you need to pray. You need to pray for your leaders. You need to pray for your pastors. You need to pray for the elders of the congregation and the deacons of the congregation, that they might understand their responsibilities properly before God and exercise their duties before God. And thus it might be the Lord Himself who is guiding you, as Deuteronomy 31:3 tells us. And it's very striking that Moses interjects a little example in the text at this point. Moses, in essence, says to the congregation, remember your history. Remember how God dealt with you. Verses 4 and 5. The Lord will do to them just as He did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, and to their land when He destroyed them. The Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. And of course, the people of Israel would remember that after they had spent a good deal of time in Kadesh, in the wilderness, they came up on, here's the Dead Sea, and they came up on the east side of the Dead Sea into the area of the Amorite kings. And what did God do? He led those who were selected out of the number of the people to be combatants, to be warriors. He led them in victory against Sihon, king of Heshbon. and Og, king of Bashan, king of the Amorites. And 2.5 tribes of the sons of Israel settled in that territory. And the people knew that. And Moses pointed back to that history, which was very recent. And he said, remember, remember what God has done. He will do the same to you. You just have to look back a little ways and see what God has done, and then look forward to see what God will do when you cross the Jordan. I smile because as I was doing some preparation, I remember being here last fall, and you were in the midst of preparing for what? The 50th anniversary celebration. And a lot of work was put in on that celebration. And the idea was for you to remember how God began this church and how the ministry in this congregation progressed. Oh yeah, there were some ups and downs. My wife and I visited here several years ago, and you were still worshiping over here in the first floor of the house, in this beautiful auditorium had not yet been built. Think about what God has been pleased to do with you. And think about how God is going to lead you forward. Remember your history. And understand that God will indeed take you forward. Yes, out of this congregation, other congregations have been born. And in the future, how many more missionaries will be sent out? Plans are already for a mission in India. And what other parts of the world will be touched with the gospel because of your outreach and God's leadership in your midst? In all of this, dear friends, remember, you are in the wilderness of this life and have the opportunity to embrace God's empowering grace to move forward as a congregation. Look at verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. When Calvin preached at Geneva on this particular text, he told his congregation in Geneva that these words, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He told his congregation that these words were an expression of God's grace to the congregation of Israel and an expression of God's grace to the congregation at Geneva. And I say to you, they're an expression of God's grace to you, the congregation of Second Indianapolis. How so? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble. In other words, have courageous strength and do not have trembling fear. Why? For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. God is with you. Oh yes, we understand this intellectually, do we not? We understand that in the New Testament, for example, the word Lord comes to us as the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I are to confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father. What a privilege it is for us to do that. And who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is with us. He is with us by the power of His Spirit. And He will not fail you or forsake you. We have to get past the simple intellectual understanding of a text like this and be able to step forward in the life of the congregation and in the life of our families and understand that this is the case. And how is it then that you would embrace God's empowering grace as set forth in this text? Well, one thing for sure is that you need to understand that God's power, as it's expressed in language, is backed up by His actual activity. That He doesn't just say to you, be strong and courageous, but He comes along with the power of His Holy Spirit to engender within your heart a courage and a lack of timidity. That this is actually His work in the hearts of people like you and me. And how is it that you then come to embrace this empowering grace? It's through the appointed means of grace. You remember the catechism, don't you? What the catechism says about the means of grace, the means of grace being the word, the sacraments, and prayer. Think about it. Here is the Word of the living God given to us. And when you pick up your Bible and you read the words of the Bible, dear friends, don't just simply read the words of the Bible for information. Read the words of the Bible to meet with the one who wrote these words. Read the words of the Bible to meet with the great God of all who wrote these words, not just to everyone, but to you as you sit and read them. And you will find the grace of God empowering your life. When you come to worship, what do you expect? Well, let me ask you another question. What is the assembly of God's people? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, including himself. We are the temple of the living God, and a temple is a place where God dwells. We are spiritual stones being built into a spiritual house in order to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. We, you and I, are being built together as a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so when you come to worship, oh yes, it's to come and sing some songs and to listen to the preacher Babylon and to hear the scriptures read. But I submit to you that the greatest thing is this, that you come to worship, to meet your Savior, to meet with Jesus Christ, and to embrace His empowering grace. And so, people of God, listen. Listen to the words of Moses. Listen to the words of God to you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Embrace Him in His empowering grace. And then Moses turns more directly to Joshua, the new leadership, and gives the same injunction, verses 7 and 8. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him, "In all the sight of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. You shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Words of grace, because God promises His very presence with you. He says to Joshua and before the people. And God says the same thing to each one of you who are in a position of leadership or have a special function in this particular congregation. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. That is His promise. And of course, the promises of God are sure. This is the promise of grace, empowering grace. And once again, friends, how is it that you embrace the empowering grace of God? It's through God's means. The Word, the sacraments, and prayer. When you pray, you look to your Savior to hear your words, your cries, your petitions. You look to your Savior. You speak to Him, and He promises you, I will be with you. And of course, He is here, present now, in a gracious way to hear you. And in just a little bit, we're going to have the privilege of participating in the Lord's Supper together. And when you take that bread in your hand, remember what Jesus Christ did for you. How He went to that cross and bore your sins in His body on that cross. And He opened the doorway to heaven for you. And when you take that bread in your mouth, think about Him and what He did for you. And the cup, the fruit of the vine, reminding you of the shed blood of the Savior. Blood that was shed to cover your sins. Blood that was shed to spare you from the penalty you are due for your sins. But Jesus Christ paid it all. And when you drink that cup, let that fruit of the vine settle in your mouth and savor the work of Jesus Christ on your behalf and embrace the empowering grace of the great God of heaven. March 3rd, the House Chamber. Prime Minister Netanyahu was wrapping up his comments. He'd begun with a reference to Esther. And now he looked above the podium, above the gallery in the House chamber, and pointed out the carving of the visage of Moses overlooking the House chamber. And he pointed that out to the Congress people and the senators. And then he reminded the people there of some particular words of Moses. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. It took a Jewish fellow to come into the Congress of the United States to point that out. Tonight, as Christians, as people who love Jesus Christ, we take those words to ourselves. We take those words to ourselves. Be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid or tremble, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. We take those words to ourselves because we know our Lord Jesus Christ will never fail us or forsake us. Is that not the case? He will never fail you or forsake you. And so I say to you tonight, dear friends, as you prepare to participate in this lovely sacrament of the Lord's Supper, embrace the empowering grace of the living God, which is offered here in His Word and in His sacrament. Let's pray. Father, good to us you are, better than we deserve. And we thank you and praise you that this is the case. We ask, O God, that you'd be pleased by the power of your Spirit to open our hearts to your great gospel of grace. And help us, Father, as we embrace you in your word and through prayer and in the sacrament, that we might experience anew and afresh your empowering grace. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen.